Hi everyone, this is Dr. Lisa Solcenti for Dr. Lisa Solcenti's podcast. And today I just want to wrap up the thyroid series with my story ending. And it really isn't ending, but it's exciting. And I also want to give you the thyroid protocol that I tried on myself. It's not my protocol. I'm not going to take, I'd like to, but I can't take credit for this one. If you go back to the very first podcast in the series, I talk about my thyroid crisis story and how embarrassing it was to happen, but I was almost embarrassed to share it, but I felt like that this was a great story. And I do believe that God put me in this position to be able to help hundreds and hundreds of people with the thyroid problem. One of my professors, his name is Dr. Brownstein, and he just blew me away. He blew me away in the class. I took, I think, two or three of his classes. And then, of course, I bought his books. I'm on his fourth book, I think. I don't know if I'm his fourth or fifth book. I just love his books. And I want you to get them. So if you have a thyroid problem, please get his books. It's called Overcoming Thyroid Disorders. That's the first book to get. It's science might be a little bit, you know, much, but you could try your best. It's written very easily. I don't think it's a hard reading. But You'll pick up, the whole thing is just read it and pick up what you can from it. I summarized a lot in the thyroid series here. The second book you want to read is on iodine. A lot of the myths we were taught about iodine, I talked about that in one of the podcasts. Great book. Third book I read of his is called Salt Your Way to Health, which is a very small book, but very, very fascinating. And he talks about salt. This was one of my problems with salt and iodine because I avoided it. And I was taught in getting my nutrition and dietetics degree in 1993-94. Or maybe that's not correct. I think it was 91 to 93 or whatever my undergraduate years were. Does it matter? I learned that salt was really bad, you know, and it was going to create heart disease. And we learned all about heart disease and cardiovascular problems and all this stuff and how horrible salt was. I have a podcast on iodine, and we talk about his books on salt, and it's the bad salt is the refined salts, the man-made salts, the table salts, the salts that have all the refined and fake stuff. It's got really nothing in it, actually, and that's the stuff that you really want to pay attention to when you're looking at boxes and packaged food and you see the word sodium. That's all the bad stuff, but the good stuff is the unrefined salt. And we all know that as sea salt, you might know this already, but this book really goes into explaining how salt actually lowers your blood pressure. And that's going to blow you away. I'm telling you, we're going to talk about this as we move forward. I'm going to get into statins. I'm going to get into cholesterol. I'm going to get into LDLs. We're going to get into all of this. Water and salt, they are tied together. And we are made of 70% to 80% water, you know, our body and our brain. So water and salt are needed for life, for detoxification, for metabolism, for transportations, for, you know, the ability for pathways to occur. It's needed for life. And we actually don't take in enough salt. And we're talking unrefined, healthy sea salt. We actually don't take enough iodine in. And his book goes over cortisol, adrenal hormones. It links it with blood pressure, thyroid gland. It's just an amazing book. So please read it because those three areas, thyroid, adrenals, and your cholesterol, your LDLs, your HDLs, salt is related to that. Iodine is related to that. Thyroid is related to that. So those three books are phenomenal. And the book now that I'm reading that I love that I'm going to share with you guys as we move forward is his. I don't have it in front of me. I'm looking around as if you could see me. It's his book on statins, on the statin myth. Let me Google this really quick so I have the exact name for you. I apologize. I thought I had the book in my hand here, but I don't. It's phenomenal. The book's phenomenal, and I will talk about it in the podcast for you. I'm also got another professor that I'm working with and learning about the cholesterol myths. Now, I did learn about cholesterol being a myth in nutrition school, nutrition and dietetics school, but we didn't have the science and the information that we have today So today it answers a lot of the whys that we didn't understand, and I will share that with you. His book is called The Stat and Disaster. Great book. I'm only a third through it, and I'm just blown away. So definitely, definitely look at his books, and I'm going to share how I found him and had a thyroid problem that I was getting nowhere with. I was doing my best by myself, learning and learning and trying. And but when I say getting nowhere, I mean I'm getting nowhere medically. Like, I couldn't get any doctor to work with me, help me. The only thing I got, if you'll do my story, was just to wait. So I have a 3 centimeter mass on my thyroid, and my testing was coming back normal, but they weren't doing full testing. So that was the number one problem there. We could have got this earlier probably if back in the day they were doing the better testing, but that's all right. And then I was just told to wait it out. So we wait for the 3 centimeter mass to get turned to 4 centimeters, and then they take out the thyroid gland. So I freaked out. Like, I'm like, no, absolutely not. So that was my plan medically. And so that was it. I didn't have to take thyroid hormones because my numbers were normal, although the antibodies weren't, because I have Hashimoto's with a full-on attack of the thyroid, a 3 centimeter nodular mass there full of lymphocytes, which are your white blood cells. And if you listen to my story in the first podcast of the series, I go into all that. But you have to understand where I'm coming from, is that that was the plan. So, you know, if you came to me and the game plan was, hey, we're just going to wait this out and then take out your gland, I mean, I hope you just don't go with that. I hope you don't go home and say, well, that's what my doctor said, or that's what my functional medicine practitioner said. I just hope that you don't listen to that. I hope you learn and you seek and you find people that are going to help you. So that's what I did. And over time, I used his protocol and read his books and took the classes and tried this. And so I am going to continue sharing my results, because the way the medical field works is I can't have an ultrasound. I think it has to be every year or something like that. They won't write it, right? And even if I write it, it's just not going to get done. So I do have one coming up, and I'm going to share my podcast. I'm hoping the 3 centimeters, I'm hoping it went down, right? Since the last one and stuff like that. I'm going to get a thermography, and we're going to compare those results. So I'm going to be able to do doing full testing next week. So all my tests are coming up. And what I want to do is compare the new test with the last test that I took, and be able to share my journey with you as I go forward and how the protocol is working, or maybe if it's not, how I switch it up or something like that. But I can tell you right now that the number one thing that you want to look at when it comes to thyroid problems is the symptoms. They are your symptoms, but for me, it's the symptoms that the patient tells me. So I listen. I really, really listen. It's the number one thing. So if you start taking supplements, if you're feeling better, then they're working. In this case, supplements are really, really key. And the reason why the supplements are important is because the whole goal behind this podcast series is, yes, you can try a protocol, but the goal is really for me to help you and to identify where the pathways are broken. So the thyroid hormone, as we've talked about in this series, is that your pituitary in your brain is going to make the thyroid stimulating hormone, the TSH. That's the one you'll see on your lab report. And so that hormone goes to the thyroid and says, hey, thyroid, you know, we're low on thyroid hormone. Could you make some more? Or we're too high on it. Can you make less? So it modulates like how much thyroid hormone your thyroid makes. And so this is something that they talk about back and forth to each other. Okay. So it's not just like a one-way pathway in the sense of, all right, you made enough, stop, it's over. No, it's continuously going. And so then the thyroid gland makes the thyroid hormone, and then that goes over to the liver. And then in the liver, that thyroid hormone has to combine with iodine. And so you're going to make T4. So that's the thyroid hormone is now married to combined to four iodines, and you get what's called T4. And then the next step is T4 has to be converted to T3. And T3 is the thyroid hormone with 3 iodine. And then the last step is the thyroid T3 has to get inside the cell. Once it's inside the cell, it's responsible for the metabolic activity, the energy, the mechanical machinery of the cell. And that should always occur at a normal pace, not too high where you're going to burn the cell out, or not too low where you're going to create the cellular death and burn the cell out the same way. You know, and this is what happens. And that's the main story that we've talked about. And my goal is to find out where along that story did it break for you. So are you having an iodine problem, right? So yes, you can try supplementing with iodine. You can try doing that, of course. You can try that. And the food source for iodine is like kelp and seaweed and, you know, ocean things. You be careful that some people are sensitive to iodine, so you want to be aware of that. Some people are allergic to iodine, so you have to be careful with that. But iodine, if you read his book and if you've listened to my podcast, has been used for centuries. Japan has a very high iodine intake due to their food, right? Their food source, their seaweed and their kelp and all the stuff that they eat. So you can do an iodine test. So that's where I would come in, because you might say, hey, I just don't want to start taking iodine. I want to know if I'm actually deficient in it. So there's a spot urine test we talked about and a 24-hour iodine loading test. So that's step number one. If you want to know, if you have these symptoms, you want to say, okay, is it my thyroid? You can go get the thyroid testing. But again, my numbers were normal and I still felt horrible. So that's what I'm saying. Just don't blow it off, right? If you're getting the testing done, you want the full panel. You want all 5. You want TSH, T3, T4, and the TPO antibodies and the TG antibodies. The next step would, I guess, be that you would want to check your iodine status. And you can do that by the spot urine test and the 24-hour iodine loading test, which I can order for you. And so you would kind of know, do you need to supplement with iodine? So the next thing is you want to probably supplement. So this is what I did, by the way. I supplement with iodine. I started off really small and I went a couple months with that. And then I started gradually increasing the iodine and I all of a sudden felt awesome. So I was like, huh, there's something here. I feel a lot better. Not 100% better, but I felt a lot better. And so then I supplemented with B2 and B3 and selenium and zinc. And when I started doing that protocol, and again, this is not my protocol, this is his. So I had the iodine, the B2, the B3, the selenium, and the zinc. And I did that for several months. I just started feeling totally different. And when you really don't feel well, when you really have no energy and you can't focus, my brain fog was getting bad. Really, it was getting really bad. I was getting a little nervous. I just was getting clarity. I was feeling better. I was like, oh my gosh, I just started feeling good. And so I slowly was upping my iodine load, you know, the amount I was taking based upon my testing. So I did test myself. I did do my 24-hour iodine loading test, and I did do my micronutrient test, which I talked about in the last podcast, to find out what your cells are lacking. So I did actually a complex of B, because I really believe B6 and B12 is important. So I did B2, B3, I did, you know, a B complex. So it had all of them in there. But I did a specific brand that had 2 versions of B2 and 2 versions of B3, because I wanted to make sure that I was getting the right amount of B2 and B3 that I had to get. So that was what I did. So the iodine, the B2, the B3, or should I say the B complex? So the iodine, the B complex, the selenium, and the zinc. I also took, I believe it was milk thistle to support my liver, because this is all happening in the liver. I to protect the body from inflammation and oxidation. So I have this mass, so I definitely have oxidation and cellular death in the thyroid gland and tons of inflammation going on. I continue taking vitamin C at the 2 to 3,000 milligrams per day that I was taking already. So I just continued that. And then I had to worry about the fluoride and the bromide. So Dr. Bronstein, he recommended taking a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon of sea salt a day. This was the hardest thing for me to do. The iodine wasn't hard for me. The B complex wasn't hard. The selenium, the zinc, it was taking salt. I was so, and this is what happens to us. We are so taught things. We are so schooled one way. And if you're a medical doctor, trust me, this is what happens in med school. This is what happened to me in undergraduate. You're so taught one thing that it becomes your belief system. Like, I believe that you just, you know, salt was so bad. I mean, it was ingrained in us. And it was so hard for me to start taking a half a teaspoon, just teaspoon of sea salt every day. I was like, oh my gosh, my blood pressure is going to go up. But I've always had, and here's another sign of thyroid problems, very, very low blood pressure. Like very low. Very low resting heart rate, very low blood pressure, to the point where in chiropractic school, they used me as the guinea pig when students had to do blood pressures. And the teachers would always call me up to try to trick the student. So I was even used in like grades lower than me. They would call me and say, hey, we're doing physical exams today. Could you come in and be a patient? And because they don't let the cuff go low enough to get to me. So if it's 120 or 80, I could be like in the 70s, you know, or 60. It's just so low. It could be like 120 over 80, I guess. I don't know at the time. I can't remember, but it was really low. And my resting was like 50 something. And yeah, I was working out and all that. But I also had problems where I had orthostatic problems with hypertension, meaning if I was laying down and I get up, I get faintish. And I still do to this day. But the salt is really helping me with this. It really, really, really does. And the minute I started taking the sea salt, which I'm telling you was hard for me to do, I felt amazing. And so then I started reading his salt book and how we have electrolyte imbalance problems. And we just don't restore enough water and enough electrolytes into our body. We can burn it off. We can, you know, I do drink coffee. I do things that, you know, will deplete your water and deplete your electrolytes. It's not just working out. There's lots of things we can do that can deplete it, and we have to put it back in. And I wasn't doing that forever because I was purposely trying to avoid it. So the teaspoon of sea salt a day is now in my everyday. I actually put it in water and I drink it. And you might be go ill, but I do. And I feel amazing afterwards. If you go to my website, I have for years and years had recipes up there for natural electrolyte drinks. So that was always a third teaspoon of sea salt in 3 cups of water. And that's how you make it a natural electrolyte drink. So I was aware of this, but I don't think I was even doing enough salt compared to what he's talking about. And if you want to sweeten it, like if it's in water and you're like, oh, this is just so salty, you could put a little fruit juice in there. You can sweeten it. You can put a little sweetener in there. But my electrolyte drink was always a third teaspoon of sea salt to 3 cups of water. He's about a teaspoon a day. And you could do like half in the morning, half in the afternoon or something like that. The reason is to put the electrolytes back in. Yeah, but basically it's also a way to flush out that fluoride and bromide. And that's the point I want to hit home with you guys, is that's how you can flush those two out. If you remember what I was talking about, I think it was the last podcast, but I know I keep saying we mentioned this because we've had such a great series. And your questions coming in, I'm going to get back to them and answer them. They're just phenomenal. Bromide and fluoride like to compete with iodine. And so you might be getting iodine in, but if you get more bromide in, or for some reason your body's absorbing that and tends to like that one better, if bromide gets to the iodine receptors before iodine, it's going to bind to it and then iodine can't. So what happens is your body just won't use the iodine, it'll just get rid of it. So you do not want more bromide or fluoride in the body than iodine. That could be the cause of a thyroid problem. That could be where it's broken. So the 1 teaspoon of sea salt a day is a cleanse to flush out the other halides. Halides are fluoride, bromide, and chlorine, and or chloride. If you look at the periodic table, they sit all together, each other in the row, and that's called halides. You also have to increase your water intake. So I started doing that, making sure I have, you know, I carry around water and I drink it. If I get really, really bored with water, because I tend to get like, oh, I don't want to drink anymore, I will throw in my powdered greens, or I'll throw in my powdered, beets, or my powdered fruits, you know, stuff like that. you could play it up there. I also have bought powdered vitamin C that's a little flavored. And that helps me out too. Cause you, in those little powdered scoops of like vitamin C, you can get like 2000 milligrams in one scoop. So that's just really how you can get this high vitamin C intake. So, increasing your water intake is definitely key. Now, if you need thyroid medicine or you're on thyroid medicine, cause that was one of the questions that came in. I think it's a great question and I'm going to end it there. There are things you can do. And if you get his books, he goes into it. So what I want to talk about with the thyroid medicine real quick, and I can't tell you what to do. None of this is to replace your medical doctor. None of this is to replace your care with your medical doctor. This is education for you. This is education for other practitioners, for other healthcare people. If you're a medical doctor, this is just for you to learn and try yourself. But here's what I learned about the thyroid medication. Now, I don't have to be on it. I don't know how I have this huge. So I'll get back to me really, really quick at the end. But the thyroid medication, I'm just saying it's fascinating how I don't have to be on it. And I have such a huge mass there. But if you're on, what they like to give is... the synthetic T4. So if they give you Synthroid or one of those versions, they like to give you a synthetic T4, a man-made T4. They used to actually give before that, they used to give a more natural one, which they use pig glands, and it's called desiccated, and it's a natural form. It's coming from a gland of a pig, and it's more like a human gland, and it assimilates better in that way. And why he likes it is because the pig gland has T1, T2, T3, T4, and selenium in it. And the way it works is your body needs all of those. And if you think about it, our body just doesn't make T3, T4 in the morning and that's it, and you use it all up. You're going to get this drip through the day. So, you know, taking T4 in the morning, and a lot of people get sluggish in the afternoon because you're giving yourself the T4, but in the afternoon, your body might need to make a little bit more and it's not. So the way it's given isn't really the best way either. But the reason why he doesn't like the T4, or I have to say, almost every thyroid patient that comes in my office that's on Synthroid and T4 is miserable. They're miserable, and their number one thing they say to me is, my doctors aren't listening to me. It's not working. I feel horrible. I'm gaining weight. I'm losing my hair. But my numbers are great. So here's the thing. If you want the numbers on the lab to come out in the normal range, T4 will do that for you. So if your T4 is low and you take synthetic T4, it will put you in range. But remember I told you how it's all about your symptoms. If your symptoms are still there and you still feel like crap and they're writing it off as something else, you really need to just talk to your doctor, or if you are a doctor, you really need to listen to the patient and you really need to research this. Or if you're getting nowhere, you need to just really seek someone else out. I can't write prescriptions, so that part's not me, but I can lead you in the right direction to people that can help you. So some people, what they do, because T4 doesn't work in like 90% of my patients. So what we do, some doctors are, they'll give them a synthetic T3. Because remember, T4 isn't what gets in the cell. It's T3 that gets into the cell. And so if you're getting synthetic T4, but you think about it, don't have selenium, don't have B2, don't have B3, and don't have iodine, you might not be converting T4 to T3. So you want to look at your T3 levels, are always super important. If your T4 looks good, but your T3 doesn't look good, that's a conversion problem right there in that story. So what I personally would do with you is start giving you, checking your B2, your B3, your B6, your B12. I would be doing the micronutrient test, doing your iodine status. You could go on those supplements and try and see what happens. Maybe you could take that synthetic T4 and then fix the B2, B3, or selenium, zinc, or iodine problem. I'm saying or because I don't know which one's your problem. But if you did that little protocol with the T4, maybe it'll convert to T3 and you'll be good. Maybe you need some T3. There is a synthetic T4 and T3 you can be given. The other thing is, going back to the natural, you can switch off the synthetics and go to the natural. And the number one that they go to is armor. And armor is a natural, again, it's that I can't say the word at the moment. It's the pig gland one is what I'm trying to, all these words are coming to my head at one time. So it's the pig gland. It has the T1, the T2, the T3, 4, and the selenium in it. So some people go to that again. You want to still make sure that you have the B2, the B3, the selenium, the zinc, the iodine for all the pathways and conversions that happen there as well. So that's on both sides of the story. For some people, armor, they still don't feel well on armor. And what Dr. Brownstein's book says is that some people do better on what's called nature's thyroid. And I think there's a West thyroid or something like that. There's two other ones. So when he switches to them, some of them feel really, really good. But if you're on any of these and you aren't feeling well, I think the trick is to really finding what the concoction is that works for you, that your doctor's comfortable with. And if I can work with you and your doctor, I would also be looking at the micronutrients and the iodine component to this too, because if they're deficient, none of this is going to convert. None of these synthetics or the desiccated thyroid, the natural one, they're still not, may not work because you need these other cofactors. And the last thing that's out there is compound pharmacy, where they can make the purest form of T4 and T3 without fillers and artificial things and flavorings and whatever, artificial fillers. I think it's more fillers. Ingredients is the word I wanted. So there's hope. There's things that you can do, but it is getting a doctor that was willing to work with you and finding out what works. But I can assure you that I'm going to end with my story, and I'm going to share with you my journey as I keep going, that my hair no longer falls out. It's not thinning. My eyebrows are doing great. My neck is skinny again, like the old days. My face is not swollen. I don't have a tire around my neck. I have a tiny bump, not a big bump. I don't know the exact size because my ultrasound's coming up, so I'll share with you. I'm hoping it went down. Because I was told it never can go down. There's nothing I can do. And I'm just so excited to just see if it did, because I want that to go the other way. Moving forward is going towards cancer. Moving away from it is going back to a healthy thyroid. I lost 12 pounds without doing anything. So that's really, really important for me, because I've never really had a weight problem my whole life, but I knew that the amount of exercising I was doing wasn't helping. I haven't really exercised, I'll be honest, in the last year or two, because I had an injury that just kept me from it. And so I know I haven't worked out. And so I've been doing this for about a year or two now. So that is really, really cool to share. So I lost 12 pounds, I guess. I've really been doing it hardcore, the whole protocol, I think a year. And so mine's pretty serious. Mine's pretty far down the road. So I think it said to give it a year or two. So I'm getting there. But the symptoms are all gone. My brain fog's gone. I'm getting clearer. It's just great. I have my energy. I'm happy. I'm not depressed. Even those little itchy skin and all these weird things when you look at hypothyroidism, I was like, oh my gosh, it's all gone. So I can't thank him enough for helping me. And I'm hoping that these podcasts educate you and give you information that you feel hopeful for, that you're like, oh my gosh, there's hope. That I just want you to leave here and be like, there's something I can do about this. I think I shared in my crisis story about me and my sister. I just want people to understand that yes, there are things that you're doing that is possibly causing the problem, but there's freedom in that, because there's things if you can do to fix the problem, right? If you can figure out where on the pathway it's broken, you're like, oh my gosh, it's because I stayed away from iodine my whole life, like me. And I was like, I just absolutely refused to touch salt. Yeah, I can fix that, right? I can fix that by giving myself some iodine and doing some salt. And oh my gosh, my B vitamins are in the tank, or I have absolutely no selenium, and that's why my thyroid's messed up. Oh my gosh, I can fix that. Right? Maybe you have a fatty liver. Maybe you have a leaky gut. We can figure this out together. So if you need help, please, 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 please don't hesitate to reach out for the consultation, and we will review this all together. But also discuss this with your doctor as well, and see if you can educate them. You know, we change the world together. Okay, thank you.